Welcome to the Waterways World podcast, brought to you in association with ABC Leisure Group, operators of hire fleets and marinas around the UK.
Hello and welcome to the Waterways World podcast. I'm Bobby Cowling, the editor of the magazine. And with me for this episode is Robbie Cumming, the popular boat vlogger and star of his own BBC 4 TV series, Canal Boat Diaries. We last spoke with Robbie on the podcast in the autumn of 2020, ahead of the broadcast of his second series. Well, he has now completed filming for a third series, which follows his journey from Wigan in Greater Manchester to Ripon in North Yorkshire, and is due to be broadcast early next year. We discuss some of the highlights of Robbie's trip, his love of the waterways of the North, and more general boating-related topics. So let's take a listen. So last time we spoke, you seem to be at a bit of a crossroads because you now have a partner, Alice, in West Yorkshire, who has a child, and you weren't sure if that was compatible with life afloat. But here you are back on the boat and soon to be back on our screens.
Yeah, well, sometimes life isn't straightforward, is it? You have all your ducks in a row and you've got everything you've ever wanted, but, well, in my case, my girlfriend works in one location, which is a problem a lot of boaters do have, is if they want to move around and live this life and you've got to be in one spot, then it's difficult. And then she has a daughter who goes to school. We've got into a great school, primary school, and we're just really happy. It's just we can't all live on this boat, and I think when I talk to people, they really do understand that, and they seem really happy for me because they know that I'm happy with the variety that I've managed. Because well, what we talk about on the next series, we touch on it a little bit, but my girlfriend this year bought a caravan, so I've got three different locations I could be in: boat, terraced house, or a caravan. So it's a bit of a juggling act.
Indeed. So how did this third series come about then?
Well, we have to wait until the series is shown on TV before anyone makes a decision, basically. And I didn't fully appreciate that until this time. And I was really twiddling my fingers come, April, May, when the show had just been... They held the second series back till Easter time because they thought that's the perfect time. But for me, I was like, come on, we need to get out there and filming another one. And, it's not always as straightforward, you know. I think people have rose-tinted glasses when they look at the glamorous world of TV. It's not always what you think it is. There's a lot of different people behind the scenes and they all have to agree. And it's not always that easy.
So that was the delay. It was just you're waiting for the beep to make a decision.
Yeah, and it's someone perhaps in a completely different department that I've never met. Then they have to make a judgment based on figures as well as how much audience appreciation there was. And I had a little part in this time because I thought, right, I'm going to get on Twitter and say, look, everyone, if you want to write in, here's the email. And I couldn't believe, I was actually quite embarrassed about the amount of people that seemed to write in. They were amazing, and I've got to thank everyone for doing that.
Wrote in to demand that you were, back on the box.
Well, yeah, I didn't sort of tell them what to write, but some of them sent me copies of what they sent off, and it was just, well supported, and I couldn't ask for more than that.
Backed by popular demand. Well,
if it wasn't needed, if people were fed up with it, if I was getting abuse on the canals, then I'd stop doing it. But it's as simple as that.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. But this time you're exploring the north of England, the waterways of the north of England.
Yeah, that won't sound too unusual to people that know me, because I pretty much live up north now. For the last 5 years, I'm even my accent has changed from West Country to, you know, a whole mixture of different things. But
is it Gloucestershire you're from originally?
Dorset originally, yeah. North Dorset.
Wow, that's properly...
Born in Somerset. So every time I talk about Yeovil Town Football Club or cider, yeah, that gets me back into the accent.
So do you have a passion for the North then?
Absolutely, yeah. I just find people... they're very open, and I appreciate that because that's the kind of person I am. I like to be quite open, and people are honest, and they, in general, I think a lot of people like to generalise and say, "Oh, Northerners are really friendly." I wouldn't say that as a first impression. It's just that once you get to know them, they are. Once you get to know them, they're really the most generous people that I've met. But then, you know, I think all over the country you could say that, couldn't you? But I just personally feel at home up north. It's just, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think I'd ever say that, but it's only the last couple of years that I realised what's on offer in the whole of the country. Because you do get a bit blinkered, don't you, if you live in the same area all the time. You just think, well, that's all that's available.
Of course you do. Was it the your boating experiences that broadened your view?
Yeah, certainly facilitated it, didn't it? So I started out on the Kennet and Avon, and I did think about, right, I'm just going to see how far I can push this, but I thought, well, I've already borrowed a friend's boat and overwintered for a few months in London. I know I can do that, so I'll just do that again, but on my boat, the Naughty Lass. And after that, I thought, well, if I can do this, right, let's just push this a little bit further. And I started exploring the sort of outreaches of the system, because I had a really brilliant job where I could just work from home, which I think is, a lot of people are now discovering the joys of working from home. But
you were ahead of the curve on that one.
Well, yeah, but it's very distracting, isn't it, when you're sort of looking out the window, like, I'd rather be out there than working on the computer. Anyway, I had enough time. I was only working three or four days a week, and I had enough time to explore, and that's when I went for it. I went up right up the end of the Stort, River Stort, which is past the River Lee, and then back down again, back through London. And I was thinking, well, okay, I could do that. Let's carry on and go up to Birmingham. And yeah, once I got into Birmingham, met the wonderful people there. Just, they were so friendly. Like, you know, you ask for directions, and they just tell you straight away. No one's trying to, well, certainly didn't try and mug me off or anything, and just... Yeah, just I gained confidence on each new location, and I've never really been that confident. It's something that I've really tried to work on, and having a canal boat and travelling to a new place all the time, that really does. Well, you've got this comfort zone, haven't you? And that really does enable or force you to push that further and further.
Yeah, I see. When did your northern explorations begin?
I think as soon as I got to, like Manchester, you know, that's, for me especially, that was proper up north. And, yeah, experiencing, you know, just walking around all the red brick buildings that I'm so fond of, and the canals, the history in Manchester.
Yeah.
You might not think of it if you arrive by road or rail, but, well, it's on display, and sometimes... Well, especially in the canals, you look a bit closer in certain areas, and you find all sorts of stuff. It becomes addictive. You just, well, I just, from there, that's it. I had to just push it further and further. I went to Liverpool, you know, went through Wigan, you know, and all these places I would never have gone to in a million years, like Lee. But even there, discovering an amazing view, an amazing mooring that I would never have come to if I hadn't been exploring up north.
So what's your route this time?
For this third series, we're starting off in Wigan. So that's a familiar location for a lot of boaters and for myself, because it is you know, it's a major spot on the Leeds and Liverpool. And what we're trying to do is tick off the rest of that Leeds and Liverpool that we didn't film on the first series. So we've done that journey to Liverpool. We wanted to now go from Wigan and head up towards, well, we go through places like Blackburn and Burnley, and a lot of areas where it didn't get a lot of press, didn't get a lot of film crews, you know, even though ours is very small. It doesn't get a lot of attention, and but there is so much interest, so much history. And then we carry on from there, going through Skipton, which is that's a big, real popular spot for most boaters.
Absolutely.
And then on to Leeds, and then up Selby Canal, to Selby, and then onto the River Ouse, which takes us through York, and then further on, up onto the Ripon Canal. So the end of it is Ripon itself.
So Wigan to Ripon.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
How long? Do you know how long that is in mileage?
Oh God. I have to at the end of the show. I have to sort of reel off some facts and things like that.
That's one for canal plan, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm terrible for numbers, really. So you'll have to edit in later on. I'll have to just come up with a figure.
What did you make of the Western Leeds and Liverpool? Because, as you've suggested, places like Burnley and Blackburn, they don't get a lot of publicity and they don't see many boats.
I'm really fond of it, and I think it's mostly to do with the people that I've met there. For instance, there's a little there's this really cool, I suppose it's a Caribbean, Jamaican influenced restaurant, and my friend David runs it. And he's just a brilliant chef in his own right, but he's just, it is his little oasis next to the canal, really. Everyone's welcome. There's reggae music playing all day long, you know, and it was summer when I got there. So it was like, you know, beers outside.
Where's this then?
So that's in Blackburn.
Blackburn.
But, and the people in Blackburn, I find them so friendly, like, you know, even walking down the street, not even on the canal, and someone just pulling up in their car and get out and they say hello. Just, that doesn't happen in lots of other areas. And we managed to just find, and this is all credit to my producer, really, because he is able to really delve into the history of all the areas we're going to. So I've been these places before, but the magic this time for the TV series comes from the knowledge that Stuart has, Stuart Woodman, and he's had some real nuggets and some interesting places to visit.
Was the Reggae Bar one of those?
It was, yeah. And there was also another place in a town called Barnoldswick, or as the locals call it, Barlick. You know it, don't you? And
I only know it because of the Rolls Royce connection.
Yes.
My dad used to have to go up there occasionally, yeah.
Oh, right. Not far from... That's right next to the canal. A little bit further on there was a music bar that we chanced upon, and the guy that ran it, he was just incredible. He had so much music memorabilia, so visually it's stunning, like the shots we got inside. They've got me watching some bands, some music that I'm perhaps not a huge fan of, but, you know, we're only there one night sort of thing, so it was whatever was on, you know, we'll just watch that. So, it was a good night. It's a good night. And it's just great to it's only myself, Stuart, and the drone pilot, really, for the most part. And it's a real small team. But it was just, we really did try and have as much fun as possible on the way.
So it's filmed the same way?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Although we really did focus a bit more on trying to get our filming times, so longer days, but trying to squeeze the trips into as short a time as possible. So what you're seeing is very much day after day, maybe 3 or 4 days combined. I mean, we really did sort of squeeze it in sometimes. But then other times we had to wait, you know, for a stoppage or for weather, or even, you know, for any kind of sort of coronavirus scare. I mean, that's something that's a problem for everyone, isn't it? Having to wait for that. So that, the logistics side of it was slightly different this time, but it actually gave us, I think, a bit more energy, enthusiasm. We're working as a proper team. I wasn't so much on my own as I had been in the past because, I mean, I was to move the boat. You know, there's a section in York which we didn't, it was about 9 miles of the river, which I just had to get to the next location and just pick up whatever shots I could. But yeah, for the most part, I with those other guys, and it really good fun to work with. There was a few, you know, there might have been a few fallings out. You know, I'm like, who left this rubbish here? You know, come on, tidy up after yourself. Or, you know, they're probably getting fed up with me bossing him around or something, you know. Probably thinking I'm a bit of a diva.
You do the bossing around. I thought you would be bossed around.
No, well, I think a lot of boaters will understand this, but when it's your home, or it has been your home,
it's your territory, man. It's your
manor. You've got people in and out who are using it, and it's become a work. It's almost becoming more my work and creative space as well. But I've still clung on to that feeling, like, oh, don't. Yeah, can you just don't tread there? And, yeah, wipe your feet before you come in, or that sort of stuff.
Shoes.
You know. Yeah. No, I'm not. Definitely not that precious. But the cleaning is all on me at the end of the day. So yeah, that's something to bear in mind. I've not made it that far where I've got a cleaner, unfortunately.
No. Maybe the fourth series you'll get a cleaner.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you were exploring those waterways, you know, the Ouse, the Leeds and Liverpool?
No, I've done it before, but it was so long ago, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And, well, you know how much things change. Even on the canals, things do change. And during the pandemic years that we've had, businesses have closed down or they've changed hands. So it's just been really interesting to see what's still going. And but as I said, the little gems that Stuart came up with in terms of locations to walk to alongside the canal. At one point, we're on the River Aire, at the Aire and Calder navigation in Yorkshire, and we're seeing a disused lock. And I don't think I would have seen that, but I think he looked at the maps and was like, right, let's trace that and see what that actually looks like. And when we actually got down there, I found it fascinating because I love canal archaeology. So that's just looking at something even really quite small. I think the Inland Waterways Association are quite keen on this as well. Even something really small, like just a little mooring ring on its own, or that's in an odd place. It just really sparks in my mind, you know, wow, what did it used to look like? What was that for especially? Because, you know, history is difficult. You don't always have the answers. They're not always readily available. But
yeah.
And I don't always have like the local history guide right by my side. So we have to just sort of sometimes just ponder what we think, you know, what we think it might be. But that's half the fun.
That is half the fun. Yeah. Because you mentioned the IWA doing an appeal for kind of hidden heritage, I think they're calling
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. And, but I know exactly what you mean, because I'm going to bore you now with a bit of trivia about the Derby Canal. But there was a pub beside where the Derby Canal was, and all that remains of it is a boot scraper. But it's still there to see in the undergrowth. You know, this remnant of a burnt out pub. So
that was a good night.
Yeah, it was. Yes. So you spent time in Saltaire.
Yeah, that's another incredible location. Yeah, I went through it last time. I couldn't even moor up. But this,
oh, right.
Yeah, I just there's some 6-hour shopping moorings. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. They only give you 6 hours.
Okay.
But if you can sort of stop either side if you're clever. But the first time I went through, I had to keep going until the next town. And I was gutted because I mean, I didn't know what was missing because I didn't get to explore Saltaire. But this time, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I stopped. And we go to like a music shop whilst we're there as well, early music, means like all, like really old instruments. Because what your listeners won't realise is that you're really into music, aren't you, Bobby? You're a musician.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you would have found it fascinating, all these sort of lutes and Irish drums and all these sort of folk instruments and things.
Yeah.
And they got some shots of me playing. This is Stuart. He's setting up a shot of me playing a guitar, and or I don't know. I'm going to say they're not. They weren't in tune when I played it, but it was just so difficult. and the clue what I was doing.
What kind of guitar was it to be?
Oh, so it had so many strings. I don't know, but one of them was a lute. So yeah, it's like a bent neck on it.
Yeah, it's sort of an L-shaped neck, really, isn't it? Yeah,
a really sort of bulbous sort of body to it.
Yeah,
very difficult to hold.
Yeah, they don't rest on your thigh in the same way as a guitar, right?
No, it's a completely different world. So I left the place thinking, well, that I can't play any of those instruments, but I had a great time and I learned a lot more than I thought I would have done. So yeah.
That's brilliant. I'm, you know, resisting taking this down a musical route, well, but I'll have to find out more about that. That sounds amazing.
It is a big part of my life, music, because I do. Again, we've got some songs on the series that I've recorded on my narrowboat.
Yeah.
And Stuart's found some more from the BBC archive, so it's not all my stuff. You'll hear some things that are a bit polished, and that's not me.
But you've always contributed music, haven't you? That's one of the...
Yeah, well, it was initially as a way of getting around copyright issues on YouTube. So
yeah,
I just sort of made up my own stuff. I've been playing guitar for about 25 years, so
yeah,
it's just like, right, I'll record some of that, and then I'll layer that, I'll put another melody on top of that, let's put some beats in there, why not? Because I like uplifting music. I like music that takes you on a journey, and it just clicked with the
it does
the
really work.
Clips of the canal.
What did you call it the other day? Synth folk.
Yes. Folk, yeah. When I spoke to you the other day,
synth folk. But no, it's really good stuff. You went on the Ooze as well, which was Tidal.
Yeah,
were you nervous?
Well, I was, because it was also rushed. Like when I don't know if people have appreciated this, but sometimes you're in a queue for the lock, and then you've sort of chilled out, you're having a cup of tea, and all of a sudden the lock keeper's going, right, go in now, you only got 5 minutes, and there's another boat waiting, and you've got to. It's just, it can be quite stressful on the waterways, and this all started about 7 a.m. in the morning, and it really made what I was saying to the camera and the feeling that I had going out onto that fast flowing river, which is pushing the boat about 10 miles an hour. You know, that's much more than I'm normally used to, about four miles an hour. So it really did, although I'd done it before, it was like I'd not been prepared at all, because it was just like, I haven't even had a sip of my coffee yet. And we're on the blooming river. It was a white knuckle ride, and I almost hit a bridge on the way out, but there's loads of sort of near misses and stuff like that where people will like to see. No, not sort of crashing into things just for the sake of it. In fact, I don't think we've got one where I do knock into another person's boat, which is, They were good enough to let us film that.
Oh, really?
Okay. We got it from the air, so I had to try and do a really tight little turning into a marina with everyone watching. This is on the Leeds and Liverpool Canal. With everyone watching, a lot of pressure on. And normally, I don't let that get to me, but the wind got to me as well and pushed the boat just out a little bit too far, and I ended up just careering into someone else's boat and just saying, sorry!
But they were okay about it.
Yeah, and it's little moments like that, you know, that makes the show. And
a bit of sensationalism.
Well, that's your words, Bobby. I wouldn't say that. It's real. It's still real boating. It's still all about the real side of it.
Waterways World has been Britain's best-selling canals and rivers magazine since 1972. In each monthly issue, you'll find the latest waterway news, practical advice on boat buying and boat ownership, reviews of the latest craft and equipment, a pull-out cruising guide to help you plan your next trip, first-hand accounts of waterways life, and insights into the history and heritage of our canals and rivers. For subscription offers, visit waterwaysworld.com, where you'll also find a searchable magazine archive, our interactive Ask an Expert advice section, and our boat search feature, the most comprehensive listing of canal boats for sale you'll find online. That's waterwaysworld.com.
You're still doing the your vlogs as well as this stuff, aren't you? Your YouTube vlogs.
Yeah, I keep telling people about that. When they'll catch me in the pub or something like that, and they go, "Robbie, I loved your programs." I'm like, "Yeah, have you checked out the latest YouTube video? It's pretty good, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Can you subscribe as well?" No, I never push it down people's throats, but it's my it is my passion, because you can be as you can do whatever you like, really. I do stick to the same format, but you can pretty much just get really, really creative and play around with different camera angles and styles of filming, and even test out a new kind of camera like I did recently. It's just a little action camera that sticks to a pendant that's on your chest. And with drone photography, I'm not a brilliant drone operator or pilot. I certainly wouldn't be doing it for the BBC, but with YouTube, you can just, you know, give it a go, can't you? You know.
Is there any crossover of content between your vlog and the BBC series, or do you manage to keep the two very separate?
Yeah, that can be a real challenge, but I did have a learning curve with that one. On the second series, we're in Chester, and to get to the end where Ellesmere Port, the ending of that part of the Shropshire Union. So I had to get there first before we started there and come back the other way. But so I was making a video for, I was like, right, I've got to make one last YouTube video before I have to really quieten things down. Because I can't do YouTube and BBC at the same time. I just don't have enough room in my brain. I can't. That would be just too stressful. For BBC and YouTube, I'm just filming so much stuff, you know, and cutting out the bits I don't need or whatever. But even those bits, this is going on a bit of a tangent now, but there is a lot of footage that doesn't get used, and this time I might even put out a YouTube video with some outtakes or you know, some clips that we couldn't quite use, which were perfectly fine. It's just that we've already got that half an hour. That is the budget that's set. We can't go beyond that. So
it's four episodes, isn't it, this series?
Yeah, and again, that's set by the BBC, I'd really love to do more and longer episodes even, but it is a group project, and it's a bit above my pay grade, Bobby. I've got no control. I've got much more creative control than I have any right to. So I'm so happy with the work that I've done and I've been able to do.
Yeah, I guess it's not many people who are given such a free hand, really, to provide. I mean, music
my experience is quite very limited, but I think it is. I sort of don't want the show to become too popular, because I know that the more popular something becomes, the more people will, you know, want to control it. So, and I'm happy enough that Stuart, producing and directing it, essentially, he's just done such a fantastic job, and the creative freedom that I'm allowed and that the drone pilot's allowed, he's allowed to try things as well. And it's such a great environment. And these days, that sort of creative environment, it can be quite rare, I think.
Yeah, in relation to your vlogs, I've noticed that Pub of the Weeks made a comeback now, post-lockdown.
Yeah, that had been really difficult during lockdown, because more so because some of the ones were open, but they'd make you sit in the corner and that's it. It's table service. You couldn't get the full... I wasn't able to get footage of the pub, and even when I was filming people with masks on and with visors on, and I just thought it's certainly what people don't want to, it's not what people want to see, I think, when they're trying to escape that world, you know.
Exactly,
my videos are all about just escaping into this crazy parallel world of the waterways.
Yeah.
What were there any particular highlights of this this trip, Robbie?
Yeah, there's some there's some things that go wrong, which do make it really, because I don't know, I'm not going to spoil the ones later on in the series, but the very first filming day, it was pretty much the day after the hottest day this year. We're going through Wigan, just about to start the set of it's 23 in total. These locks. That's the
The Wigan fly. Yeah.
The original fly. Yeah. As you can see, it carved into the stone. It's fascinating. But even before I got to that point of doing my little piece to camera, I got something wrapped around my propeller. So I was like, right, that's fine. I'll just I'm pretty quick at this. So I went down and opened up the hatch, the weed hatch, got to it, and all of a sudden I realised that my boat had turned around 180 degrees and was getting sucked towards the first lock, because there was a boat coming through, and that's letting water out. It's all physics, isn't it, really? But it's going under, the water's going underneath my boat, slowly, but gradually building up until it's really slamming it against the gates. And there's a great clip of me just genuinely saying, whoa, everyone stop, just trying to... you can't make it up, because there was water coming in the weed hatch up from beneath the boat into my boat, into the bilge.
That's the worst thing.
It was really quite stressful, and... Even before we got going, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm already completely knackered.
And that was on the very, very
first... That's the very first hour of shooting, And you can't write this stuff, you can't plan it. And I think it was quite difficult to edit, really, because there's so much happening in that short space of time. But hopefully, when people watch it, they'll get a laugh anyway, so that's
I'm
the main
sure.
thing.
Yeah, my mum will love it. She's a massive. I've said before, isn't she? She's a big fan of you. Speaking of fans, you've got a meet and greet type event. You were telling me about this earlier. I'm not sure how I describe. You're probably best placed to describe it than me.
Well, I mean, because this ties in with a question that a lot of people have, which is how do I actually make money when I'm not doing the BBC stuff, which is only about 3 months of the year. How am I making a living? And that's through the generosity of people that are supporting me via a service called Patreon. And this is anyone creative can sign up to this and send the link out, or put the link at the bottom of the video or whatever. If you want to support this video, please click here and you can pledge. You can pledge a certain amount every month. And currently, that ranges for me from £5 up to £25, depending on what level of honour that you want in this sort of hierarchy. It sounds like a cult now, doesn't it? But it's really it's like a bit of a fan club sort of thing, but so much more than that, because it does get lonely on the canals, and for me, and I wanted to just create my own club. I wanted to just put my own club together. Yeah. And so the meetup that's happening soon, long overdue, but we just couldn't be able to do it, really. And even now, we're having to mask up again. But for this one, we're going to meet up in a few pubs in Birmingham. So that's myself and a handful of other people we're all interested in the same thing, canals, YouTube videos, music. It's just going to be great to meet like-minded people, and that's why I set it up, really. The fact that it also pays my bills each month is just bonkers, and I love it, and I'm so grateful.
Have you met up with them before? Will this be the first time?
No, this will be the second time. The first time, I'm a bit worried, actually, because the first time was a bit messy. Okay, because I didn't know what to expect, and I don't think any of the people that turned up did, and we were just enthusiastic and up for a laugh, and we just basically end up in a metal pub called Scruffy Murphy's, doing shots of tequila on the bar. So hopefully this time
sounds a bit too rock and roll, even
a bit more
me,
sedate.
Though.
Yeah, it's pretty Yeah, and I have to be careful. The serious side of the reputation that I build for myself with, you know, pubs and alcohol and stuff. There obviously is a downside to that, isn't there? And a lot of people do have problems with alcohol.
Yeah.
And I've seen it on the canals. I've seen it on the cut. It can be a big problem. So I am wary of that side. But at the same time, yeah, it's just it's the fun of showing these pubs, especially in my pub of the week. Segment in the videos. People just love to, even I get a lot of messages from people who don't even drink, and they're just like, I just love it, Rob. I just like the atmosphere.
Yeah. You don't need to have to drink to appreciate the atmosphere of a pub.
And one day we'll all be strapped into virtual reality, having a virtual pint anyway, won't we? So yeah, it's all headed that way via my pub of the week.
I think I might have asked you this question the last time we spoke, the last podcast recording. But do you get recognised much as a vlogger?
Yeah, it's quite weird as well, because people recognise me, and then we get talking, and they're like, "I feel like I've known you for ages," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, it must be quite weird." But it's good. Like for me, it means that the way I'm being on videos and even in this podcast, it means that I'm not trying to be someone else, because once upon a time I wanted to be a comedian and I do loads of comedy characters, and I found it really, really difficult to express myself in a creative way. This might sound a bit arty, but yeah, in a creative way without putting on a funny voice or just doing it through some kind of filter, you know, of a character or something. It is. I do get recognised, mostly along the canals, but sometimes it'll be, oh God, it was in IKEA this year. I was just with my girlfriend shopping for some stuff for, she was picking out, and then I was pushing the trolley along, and someone spotted me, and they're like, what are you doing in here? I was like, well, yeah, I live the same normal life as the rest of everyone else does, mate. You know?
Yeah.
But it was great. You know, I do love meeting people, and I'd never put anyone off from saying hello if they wanted to say hello and talk about canals, because that's my favourite thing.
you now live by the Rochdale Canal. Do you spend a lot of time on the towpath and around Rochdale?
Yeah, I do a lot of a fair bit of walking, and sometimes occasionally jogging as well, and just trying to keep mobile. You know what it's like. Try and do as best you can. And it's certainly a lot easier than taking your boat up and down it.
Do you have a favourite of the northern waterways?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Rochdale, despite how difficult it is. But maybe that's because, you know, this is the area where I met my girlfriend. So maybe I've got that romantic side of it, but also just the scenery. It's just incredible at the summit. And it really pains me when people give up before they get there, because I just think, come on, just a little bit further. It's beautiful up there. It reminded me of Scotland. It was just so mountainous in a way.
It is very impressive. What about west of there, though? What about, you know, the western stretch of the Roch? I mean, you know, it sees very, very few boats, doesn't it?
Well, I don't blame, really. I mean, I've tried to make the journey back up through the Rochdale before, and I've had to really give up. This is because I was trying to contact the Canal and River Trust to try and get the volunteers to come out, and they just wouldn't. I'd ring week after week whilst moored up on the New Islington Arm in Manchester, and I just couldn't get any help, which sounds mad, doesn't it? But no one would help me through that really difficult 18 or 19 locks
that
leads you out of Manchester. Right. Well, it just seemed like they weren't really interested in winter. So, I mean, it's the thing. I love cruising in winter. And, you know, right now I'm on the Calder and Hebble navigation. So I'm on and off the river, you know, on these little cuts, and it's just incredible. I love it, and I've actually not been to this along this stretch of the water before, so it's all new. I'm absolutely loving it, and it feels even more special that I'm the only boat that's moored up in, well, I'm in Wakefield right now, and I'm the only boat here. So it's just crazy.
Did you get a chance to cruise the Pocklington or the Derwent waterways?
No, I think that could be one for the future. Hopefully, maybe if we get another series with the BBC, I think that would be a great excuse to cover that, the journey.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, yes. Because I don't know much about those.
Yeah, it's one that I don't think... I don't watch a lot of narrowboat videos, I have to admit that, but I haven't seen one about the Pocklington, and I haven't seen much written about it as well. So it would be great to get to know it a bit better.
Well, that brings me into my next question. I mean, what's the future, Robbie? Do you think you'll pursue another series?
Yeah, it's difficult because as someone who's, you know, I'm trying to be as creative as possible, and part of that you have to keep thinking what's a different way of doing it? What's the coolest way of doing this thing that I'm already doing? How do I slightly improve it, tweak it for next time? But I'm very, very happy with what I'm doing, and if I can do another series of the BBC, that'd be great. I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not guaranteed. No idea whether or not you can do it. But I definitely want to release some more music. And I'm doing... That is... It's difficult when you're... With things like that, where you can get a bit too critical of yourself. You know, you've made something you're proud of, but you're like, well, I've got to try harder next time. And it's not always the way. It's probably the wrong way of thinking about it. But I'd definitely like to do more music, and that would involve hopefully upgrading various recording software or whatever. You know, just trying to push the envelope, Bobby. Always pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
And I should mention, family-wise, you know, my life has changed since living on the boat. And you can get very selfish when it's just you. When it's just you to look after, yeah, life might be very simple, but it's not as fulfilling, I don't think. I've found personally, you know, as having a family. So I'm just, that's my effort. That's my focus as well. You know, just spending more time with my family, more quality time.
Yeah.
And then training them up, hopefully one day to move the boat. But I'm not holding my boat, holding my breath with that one.
Just finally, when's this new series going to be on? When can we watch it?
You can watch it on BBC Four, although that's also, everything is subject to change. And I'm hearing that it should be out springtime, but maybe even a couple of months before. So maybe towards the end of winter. Who knows? But I will let everyone know. Everyone keeps asking me. I will let them know. I would never keep it a secret, so I'll publicise it on Twitter and of course on YouTube as well.
Yes, and we'll also keep our readers and listeners informed of when that will be broadcast. Yeah. Robbie, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great catching up with you again.
You're welcome, Bob. It's always a pleasure, and it's just great to talk to you. And I hope that's been an interesting interview for everyone to listen to.
It has. Thanks so much.
Right, cheers.
For over 45 years, the ABC Leisure Group has been at the forefront of the waterways leisure industry. With 15 strategically placed marinas around the UK, it has hundreds of moorings with modern facilities and a range of benefits. ABC also runs a successful and competitive boat brokerage business. See abcboatsales.com, as well as over 200 luxury hire boats and day boats. Visit abcboathire.com. Furthermore, it offers a range of land-based holiday accommodation, including waterside holiday cottages and caravan parks. Visit abcholidaycottages.com.